Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to invite you to please fill out the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the row. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you drop by, let us know this is your first visit. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave this morning. We're grateful to everyone who attended this spaghetti dinner hosted by the Outreach Committee last Sunday. A total of $563 was donated to help provide food for school children through the weekend food bags program. So thank you, Don and Judy, for kind of heading that up last week. Great job. Next Sunday, August 18th, there'll be a brief board meeting here in the sanctuary just after the 11 o'clock service, so it'll start right around the 12 noon hour. The vote will be on some updates to our ministry staff compensation packages. We'll need a quorum of 15 for that meeting. Then the following Sunday, on August 25th, there'll be a brief congregational meeting also here in the sanctuary. This one will be at 9:30, just after first service and just before the Sunday school hour, to vote on some revised church board bylaws. We're proposing a few changes to scheduled board meetings and some committee structural changes, as well as a few editorial changes. We do need a quorum of 25 members for that meeting. The revised bylaws were sent out by email, and there's also paper copies on a table back there in the foyer. Please read through the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the shepherding teams, craft supply donations, as well as the upcoming Disciple Women's Fall Retreat. I want to share a little note from the Jacobo family as well. They wish to express extreme thanks for all those who provided rides to and from school for the kiddos, and that they are now ready to resume that task themselves again, as Michelle is making tremendous progress in recovering from some pretty radical surgery for her stage 4 cancer. So we'll no longer be putting out a sign-up sheet for transporting the kiddos to and from school. They also have expressed gratitude for the food and the monetary donations and feeding their large number of kiddos and paying some pretty steep medical bills, as you could imagine. So thanks to all who've helped support these members of our church family in their time of need. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. You, Lord, are all we have, and you give us all we need. Our future is in your hands. You will show us the path that leads to life and brings us pleasure forever. Let us sing hymn number 295, All Stanzas. In this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room. In this very room, there's quite enough love for all of us. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all of us. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room. In this very room, there's quite enough love for all the world. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all the world. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room.
Thank you, Abigail Jacobo, for being our candlelighter this morning. May we bow in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Lord, we once again give thanks for leading us here this morning to our place of worship and a fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. O Lord, we admit that we don't always see our places in life as important to the greater good of your kingdom here on earth, but we acknowledge that at this time in our world's history, we need your presence now more than ever. Remind us, Holy God, that we are all your children, and we are all loved by you, our Creator, and that each of us has a responsibility to live our lives in a way that brings glory to the life and teachings and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. I'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus. tell them to me.
Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Yeah. Annabelle already tried to snag my ball this morning. So, got a ball. It's just a ball. Just a plain old ball. It's kind of, I mean, it doesn't really do too much. If I set it here, it just kind of sits there. It doesn't bounce around or roll, or it's, this is a good thing. At least we know that the church is level. The ball doesn't roll anywhere. It just sits there. But if I take it and I put it in the hands of one of you, which isn't going to happen, then you can play different games with it, can't you? You can, like kickball and foursquare and just dodgeball. And why is it the boys always come up with dodgeball? Every time. Mushroom ball. I have no idea what that is, but it's... Anyway, suddenly this ball can do all kinds of different things just because we picked it up. Well, this is kind of like us. So many times I hear children say, but I'm just a child. I'm only a child. I'm only a little girl. Or I'm only a little boy. Or I'm only one person. What can I do? If we, like this ball that we take and we give to somebody and suddenly it can do a whole bunch of things, if we take ourselves and we put ourselves in the hands of God, suddenly we can do lots of things because God will guide us. He will give us the strength. He will give us what we need when we need it, just like this ball. Suddenly, this one little child can do great things. The I'm only one person in the church can accomplish many things because we put ourselves in the hands of God. Shall we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful children. Thank you for the rain today. Thank you for always being there, guiding us, giving us the courage to do your will, to give us the strength and the wisdom that we need when we need it. Help us to say yes when you ask things of us. We know that whatever you ask of us, we can do with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we have the privilege to go before God in prayer, we want to extend our sympathy to Teresa Wolf with the loss of her brother, Jim O'Brien, on Friday of this past week. We also want to remember Warren Roberts. He normally comes to the 8:30 service when he's able to be here with us, but he was planning on being here two Sundays ago, got up and found out he was dealing with kidney stones, and so that sent him other directions, and he kind of had to take the week to recover from that. And this morning he was telling me that he's having to head back to Hawaii. We don't feel sorry for him from working in Hawaii, do we? But it's nice to know that Warren's not forgetting us. He is wanting to say hello to everyone. We want to lift up Anna Egret. She ended up having to be at North Kansas City Hospital this morning, but has gone home. So we keep lifting her up in prayer for health matters. Grace Kimberling is also at North Kansas City Hospital in the rehab center. We remember Doris O'Neill and Bob Maddox. We remember Larry Ford, the brother of Juanita Feltz. We remember Rihanna Ralston, the daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon. We lift up Susan Cox, stepson Tim Parvin. We remember Michelle Jacobo and certainly all of her family in our prayers, and certainly there are others in our midst as well as we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are grateful for the privilege to gather in your house and to offer you praise and celebration, for the blessing of the people of faith with whom we are privileged to share in fellowship and study of your word. We are grateful, for the scriptures remind us that where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. As the acts of violence in El Paso and Dayton have reminded us, the words of St. Peter ring true as he cautions believers in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, to be ever watchful, for our adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. As our nation shares tears with the families of those who grievously mourn the loss of dear loved ones, may we also be resolved to be forever strong, for we recognize that evil will never prevail. For as the Apostle John reminds us in 1 John chapter 3, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, we are not to be overcome by evil, but we are to know that we shall overcome evil with good. Guide us, O God, in our endeavors to do good, to offer comfort and to seek justice, always mindful that the great victory over sin and even death itself has already been won in Jesus Christ, who is forever Lord and Savior. It is in his name that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Carrie, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture comes from 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 18. And I don't have the page number. So, 242? Okay. Once when they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting in a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Almighty God, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast.
should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He.
Thank you both. Thank you. You may not know Greg Zanis from Aurora, Illinois, but it is likely that you have seen his handiwork that for the past 23 years has been on display in communities throughout the nation. Ever since 1996, when Greg found his father-in-law murdered, he has been erecting white crosses, stars of David, and crescent moon memorials for the thousands whose lives have been taken in tragic circumstances from shootings or natural disasters. Since the most recent shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio last weekend, Greg has constructed and delivered to the families of the bereaved these white emblems of faith, with the names of those lost and scribed, and he has done this 26,680 times. 21,000 of those have been for the lives of those lost to gun violence. While many of Greg's white symbols of faith have become a magnet for memorial and hope for grieving families and communities, in like manner for many of us of the Christian faith, the crosses we bear as jewelry or on our walls draws our attention toward the hope we have in Christ, even when we may especially feel surrounded by tragedy. Thus, as we share in the Lord's Supper this morning, we offer thanks for the loving and genuine acts of compassion from people like Greg Zanis, as we also offer our thanks to our loving Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are redeemed. Our communion hymn this morning, number 321, we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst break the laws beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I see Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Oh, send Thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me. Touch Thou my longing eyes, that I may see. Give me to eat and live with Thee above. Teach me to love Thy truth, for Thou art love.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this time to come together as your children at this sacred hour. We thank you for the invitation that was given to us and for us. So special and so simple, but so necessary. We thank you for this wine and this bread, the emblems of Jesus' broken body for us. As we take these emblems, may we remember what he truly did for us. Help us to go and be Jesus' servants this week. In his name I pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
Persistence in a cause is what counts. For example, it was only through his dogged persistence that American astronomer Clyde Tombaugh discovered the dwarf planet Pluto. Beginning in March of 29, Clyde examined scores of telescopic photographs, each showing tens of thousands of star images in pairs under a dual microscope. It often took 3 days to scan a single pair. It was exhausting, eye-cracking work. In his own words, he said it was brutal and tedious. His task went on for months. Star by star, he examined 20 million images. Then, 11 months into the process, on the 18th of February in 1930, as he was blinking at a pair of photographs in the constellation Gemini, he suddenly came upon the image of Pluto and became the most dramatic astronomic discovery in a century. Our giving to the Lord's work may not seem like much, but week by week we remember that indeed persistence pays off, because we are contributing to our significant part to the $410 billion that are given each year to charitable causes throughout this great nation. With these thoughts in mind, Doug offers us a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Lord, we are so thankful for all the blessings that you give us every day. As we collect our tithes and offerings, may they be blessed and used to sustain this church and the many ministries that we provide throughout this community and the world. In this we pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated. During this journey of speaking about 12 women from Scripture, from John MacMillan's book, it makes perfect sense that he chose to put Ruth and then Hannah side by side one another in the chapters of the book that we've been studying in my Sunday school class. And of course, I've been sharing with you as we've made this journey through 12 exceptional women of Scripture during our sermon time. The reason being is because both Ruth and Hannah lived during this time called the time of the judges. It was actually a time in which there was a lot of corruption going on in the faith among the leadership, the religious leadership of the Hebrew people, while the community of faith was residing in the community of Shiloh. But today, what we understand about Hannah is that even though, you know the Bible story where Hannah is in the temple there in Shiloh and she is pleading to God for a child, well, we have to understand that it's much deeper than that. For Hannah, what she really wanted to do was to serve God honorably. May we pray. Merciful God, we're grateful for the day and the privilege to gather in your house as we learn about Hannah. May her example inspire us to also honor you in our service day by day. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Thinking about Hannah's life and the depth of her earnestness, I want to share with you a story about a young man. Back in 2004, when we continued to live in Lincoln, Nebraska, Jonathan, my son, and I found out about what was called the Civil Air Patrol, the Volunteer Auxiliary to the United States Air Force. And with Jonathan having that earnest desire to join the Air Force and be a pilot, a desire he had had ever since he was 7 years of age in kindergarten, that organization seemed to be a perfect fit for him. And so I dusted off my credentials of being a past Air Force Reserve chaplain. And of course, when they found out what my credentials were, they were just so excited to have me come in and become the chaplain for the squadron because their squadron chaplain was retiring and they needed another guy. And of course, Jonathan joined in with his aspirations as well. As we started the program, at about that same time, another young man joined in. Let's say his name was Sam. Sam is probably the most extraordinary young man I think I have ever met in that more than 11-year time period that I served as chaplain for two different Civil Air Patrol squadrons, one in Nebraska and one in Texas. Remarkable young man. As he joined the program, he, like my son, was saying, I want to join the Air Force, and I want to be a pilot. Well, okay, then let's see if he's got what it takes to head in that direction. That's his aspiration. And as time evolved, and as we went from meeting to meeting, Sam excelled at every level of expectation that the program required. There was a physical fitness element to the program, and Sam, he was off the charts on all of his ratings for all of the different physical fitness things you're supposed to do. Just did that wonderfully. When it came to academics, he was sharp as a tack, and he continually made exceptional marks. And as a consequence, he continued to raise in rank as he went through the program. Additionally, there's an element of leadership that's a characteristic of the program to try to inspire the younger ones below you and do so in not an obnoxious way, but in a way in which, you know, you show good leadership quality while also inspiring those beneath you in service. And he did that also exceptionally well. As time was going on, I thought, wow, you know, if there is a young person among us who really seems to have the characteristics to be able to pursue this goal of, you know, becoming a cadet at the Air Force Academy, and then, of course, also becoming a pilot, I thought, wow, this young man has got what it takes. Because everything he touched just turned to gold. But there was something else about Sam that is what I appreciated most about him. Whereas many young people who end up having good skill levels and great competency can begin to have quite a bit of ego going along with that. And especially among the pilot community, I certainly understood that as I was in active service. What I saw in Sam was a profound level of selfless servanthood. There was not an egotistical bone in his body. Everything he did quietly, unassumingly, and with the greatest desire to serve. And so what really became very apparent to me in my conversations with him, you know, again, as being chaplain, etc., was what I really learned was that above all things, Sam was striving to excel to the best of his ability because what he wanted to do was to serve this country. And he thought that the best way he could do that would then be to be in the Air Force and to serve as a pilot. That was somewhat secondary to the higher expectation in his life, which was to serve. And therefore, I certainly began to understand that it was in his desire to serve this country honorably. As time continued to progress, and of course, in a kidding way, Jonathan and Sam kind of competed right neck to neck with one another because they're both about equal on competency on all of this. It's always kind of fun to see how they were doing. But then there came a time. Sam started having some health issues, went to see the doctor, found out that he had juvenile diabetes. Oh, well, okay. Well, diabetes, that's manageable. You know, you can work through that. You know, some medication adjustments and this, that, and the other, and it'll work out. Well, yeah, in general terms, yes, it will. He could excel through adulthood just fine. However, when it comes to military service, juvenile diabetes is an automatic shut door. Boom. If you have any history of juvenile diabetes, all of a sudden, you cannot serve in the military because of the potential for seizures. Not that it ever may happen, but just the potential of it is enough to shut the door. And we thought, oh my gosh, look at this. All of a sudden, in one doctor's visit, the word was, Sam, everything you have been aspiring to do, all the work that you've put into this program to excel to the absolute best of your ability, and the fact that you have done so and have looked so promising, it's all to naught. He would never be able to serve as an enlisted personnel. He would certainly never be able to be a cadet at the Air Force Academy or any other academy. And, of course, the whole notion of being a pilot was completely out of the question. I thought, oh, my. Wow, talk about having your expectations, your hopes, your aspirations dashed. Certainly that must be it. And I thought, oh, I bet Sam's just going to quit. Why? Why continue this? I mean, it's not going anywhere except just to finish what you can within the program, but the program's not going to be able to help you get anywhere. But you know what? Sam didn't quit. He kept pushing forward. He kept excelling in every aspect of the program as he moved onward. Now, it wasn't much longer after that that Jonathan and I, we ended up moving to Texas, and I lost track of Sam. I really wish I could know what happened to Sam as an adult. But what I truly believe in my heart of hearts is I got to know the soul and spirit of Sam. Is I bet that he is serving, wherever he is, honorably. That leads us to Hannah. Hannah, in the scriptures, she and her husband Elkanah both were from families that were part of the heritage of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of the priestly clan. And it was a great honor for them to be in mutual service. Certainly Hannah serving and assisting her husband, and Elkanah, of course, serving as a priest in the temple in the structure of part-time basis as they did in that time period. What a wonderful privilege it was in Hannah's mind's eye to be a part of the priestly clan and to serve God in that way. But this was also a time period in Hebrew tradition in which, for a woman, not only was there such a great privilege and the opportunity to be a mother, to bring children into the Hebrew family, but above that, there was no greater honor for women than to be able to nurture a child into the beliefs of the Hebrew faith so that a new generation would carry the faith onward into the future. That was the whole image of salvation for the Hebrew people during this time. Now, Hannah, being from a priestly clan and being married to a priest, the fact that she was barren and had no children was an incredible slam door. Not only the idea of the experience of motherhood, but more importantly than that, the experience of being able to nurture a child in the faith. Like Sam, for Hannah, the door was shut. And yet she was so profoundly capable and so earnest in her desire to serve God honorably. It is no wonder then that the text that we had Carrie read to you earlier shows Hannah in the temple in Shiloh praying earnestly before God. And their prayer is so earnest and it is quiet because and that was a time period when prayers were typically done audibly. And so here, Eli, the high priest, he comes up to her and thinks, well, she must be drunk. Look at the silly behavior on her part. It was none of that. It was just that she was so earnest in her personal desire to serve God honorably. And of course, Eli, as lazy as he was and as corrupt as his sons were, he didn't get the whole picture about what was really going on. He just says, well, maybe may your prayer be answered and go ahead and go on your way. Now, as you remember the story, Hannah had made a pledge. God, if I can only have a child, I tell you what, I will give you my child. I will dedicate my child's life to you for life. What you may not know is that this was a time period when lifetime preacher business just didn't really happen. This was a time period when the priestly business was done by your rural and urban pastors from the tribe of Levi, and they would go over to Shiloh and serve for a few weeks. Then they would come back home and go about their regular duties as like the parish priest, if you will, but at the same time managing their own farm or a livestock, whatever it be. Serving God was part-time. But you also remember that Hannah had said, I will not cut my child's hair. She was saying, I will dedicate him as a Nazirite. Well, a Nazirite was a person dedicated to God. Again, the not cutting of the hair was part of that. And again, remember from Scripture, there was only basically about two Nazirites that we knew were really full-time. One became Samuel. Who was the other? Remember his name? Also the letter S. Samson. Yeah, Samson. Now, Samson, however, he kind of goofed up this whole situation, didn't he? He got so caught up in his own selfishness and his own selfish behavior that he goofs it all up, and he ends up dying, pushing the columns apart. Remember? But Samuel, he became faithful to God to the very end. Hannah, in her pledge to God, was dedicating. Oh, if I can just have a child, I'll dedicate this child to you, O God, for life. What you have to understand is how exceptional of a dedication that was in this time period. You know how the story goes. Hannah does have a child. And text tells us that when the child is weaned, when's that? About age 3. We're talking about this in Sunday school. Can you imagine when your child was 3? I remember Jonathan at 3. We had a lot of fun. It was a great time. The notion of taking my 3-year-old and saying, here, you have him for the rest of his life. We asked the question in Sunday school, well, how come Hannah just didn't renege on it? God, you don't remember that, do you? I want my child. No. And well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you why Hannah was able to give up her child, because she never really gave up Samuel. She was true to the conviction of to her desire to do that which she had always wanted to do, and she was able to fulfill it. You see, Hannah, she didn't want to just experience the joys of motherhood by bringing a child into the world. Hannah's great desire was to serve God honorably by helping to nurture a child into the Hebrew faith, so that the faith of God, the one true God, would continue to exist for another generation in a time period when so many people were worshiping multiple gods. You see, Hannah's, the greatest desire of her heart was grand and much bigger than herself. And she got to fulfill that desire. The text tells you that she went to the temple and took things to her. Remember the little coat she'd bring, another size every year? I believe that Hannah not only went to Shiloh once a year, I believe she went as often as she could. And it was a mountainous trek she had to go through to get there. But I believe every time she had an opportunity, she went to the temple, she took things to her son. And while they were visiting, she would do what she could to strive and to instruct him in godly ways. And even though Eli the high priest was lazy, and even though his sons were corrupt and immoral, Samuel grew up in the faith and became an outstanding spiritual leader who brought the Hebrew people back into a living relationship with the one true God, as he also was the final judge for the Hebrew nation. How did he become such a stalwart spiritual leader? Because of the inspiration of his mother, Hannah. Sam wanted to serve this nation honorably. Hannah wanted to serve God honorably. And God blessed her, and she was able to do that. So, Hannah inspires us, and she raises in us the question, how are we serving God honorably? You know, Christ, if he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 323, Wonderful Words of Life. Let us sing all stanzas, please. 323.
Since them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life, all so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon, peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house and wish you the very best as the new week continues forward. May we pray. Merciful God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and for this we give thanks as we journey forward with the new week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.